1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. These are God's words. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now the apostle's purpose for writing this letter, we have heard stated already in verse 1 of this chapter. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And then again, in verse 13 of chapter 5, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so the apostle is writing so that we will be those who can know that we have eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And one of the things that is necessary for us to know that we have eternal life is that we would not make practice of sinning, but that we would hate sinning and make it our goal in life to kill our sin. Yes, Sophia?
What if the light is too bright?
The light here is the Lord Jesus. Notice that verse 6 says, he who says he abides in him, and then verse 10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light. And so Jesus is the light that came into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, describes him this way, that he who is the light came into the darkness, he came to, and also that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But also in chapter 1, it described him as being God, and also told us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we say we have fellowship with him, we must walk in the light as he is in the light. The light is too bright for you, for me, because we still have sin in us. And the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. This is why Jesus does not only forgive our sins and make us right with God, which we call justification. And Jesus does not only make us the children of God, which we call adoption, but he makes us to be righteous like he is righteous, and to appear as God's children by bearing the family resemblance and becoming blameless and pure and holy like he is, the only begotten Son. And so he also, for all those whom who have justification in Jesus, they are forgiven and made righteous. For all those who have adoption in Jesus, they are made God's children. They also have sanctification from Jesus. He makes us holier and holier until one day he will have produced in every single one for whom he died. He will have produced in them the holiness that we need to be able to see the Lord. And since God dwells in unapproachable light, how holy must we then become by that day and in that day, that we would be, as it were, bright enough to see the Lord Jesus, the way John describes him in Revelation 1. He could not really look at him very well, for his face was brighter than the sun. And so that is an interesting question. Now it connects here, because there are people who have good theology, but they do not have what their theology describes. Let me change that. They have accurate theology. Your theology isn't actually good unless it is that by which the Lord Jesus has renewed your mind and transformed you to be conformed to his image instead of being conformed to the mind of the age, like we heard about last night in the sermon in the midweek meeting in Romans 12, verse 1. There are people who have accurate theology, but they do not have the reality that their theology describes. Notice what they say in verse 4, or what he, this hypothetical individual, says in verse 4, and what he says in verse 6. He says, I know him, which is to say, he knows that salvation comes by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, agreeing with who he is, although there were demons who said, I know who you are, Holy One of Israel. And as James said, the demons believe the truth about Jesus and they shudder. They're frightened. They tremble in fear at the truth about Jesus. But this one not only says, I know him, verse 4, he also says, he abides in him. So this is someone who knows that trusting in Jesus produces union with Christ, and that it is through being united to Jesus Christ that we are made right with God and forgiven of all our sins. But there is such a thing as somebody who knows that salvation is by believing in Jesus, and who knows that that salvation comes even through union with Christ through faith, but who is not actually saved, who does not, verse 4, keep Jesus' commandments, who does not, verse 6, walk as Jesus walked. And so Jesus, who loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus, who loved his neighbor as himself, Jesus, in whom we know love, chapter 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so Jesus is the one who walked in this love towards God and love towards neighbor, and love especially towards the elect, and that he laid down his life for them. This is what he says in John chapter 10, that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And this was, of all of his obedience, the crowning obedience that Jesus Christ offered. For not only does he say, verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, like we just heard about, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, in 1 John 3, verse 16. But then listen a few verses later in John chapter 10, he says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And so Jesus obeyed the Ten Commandments perfectly, didn't he, in our place? Praise God. And he obeyed the first great commandment and the second great commandment perfectly in our place. Praise God. But Jesus also, by his example, by his walking, and especially the walking of his dying, established for us the third great commandment, or really the one and a half great commandment. Because our love for the brethren, being united to Christ and the elect of God, is more directly part of our love for God even than our love for neighbors who are made in God's image. For our brothers and sisters in Christ are not only created in God's image, but renewed into God's image through union with God the Son. And so walking as Jesus walked and walking in love means seeing, again, listen to chapter 3, verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So we see how Jesus walked, and he who says he abides in him ought also to walk as he walked, 1 John 2, verse 6. So he says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, chapter 3, verse 16. And then he goes on to describe, what does laying down your life for the brethren mean? Verse 17 of chapter 3. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, that doesn't mean he is always at liberty to give him whatever he needs. There may be someone who has a prior claim, like someone in your own household, but who shuts up his heart from him, so his heart is not open and pouring out and desiring to do what he can righteously do for his brother. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and so forth. And so it is very important that we come to know that we have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. That we don't just know that eternal life comes by knowing him. That we don't just know that eternal life comes by abiding in him. But that we actually know him. That we actually abide in him. And if we do that, Jesus produces his character, his life, and here especially his love in us. So it's vitally important that we keep God's commandments, because obedience to God's commandments out of love for God is what Jesus produces in everyone whom he saves. So don't listen to anybody who says that it is not important to keep the commandments, or to anyone who downplays the importance of the commandments. It is, of course, very important that you know that the only way you are right with God is by Jesus's keeping the commandments in your place. Your keeping the commandments can never make you right with God. And it is very important that you know that the only way that you begin to keep the commandments is by Jesus's life in you. The love for God and love for brother and love for neighbor that are in Jesus do not come to be in us in any other way than by Jesus' life in us, by our abiding in him. So this is necessary obedience, necessary love, but not at all meritorious. Because A, Jesus has earned it all outside of us. And B, whatever love and obedience there is in us, Jesus has produced that too. But that's why it works as a help to assurance of faith. He says, by this we know that we know him, verse 3, if we keep his commandments. How can keeping his commandments out of love in the heart and especially keeping this commandment and loving my brethren and laying down my life for them. How does that make me know that I know him? Because there's only one way that I could come to love my brothers like that. There's only one way that I could come to obey God like that. And that is by knowing Christ. And that is by abiding in him. So if we read this passage and we say, oh no, I do not obey God's commandments. And I do not love my brother. Indeed, there are brothers and sisters who go by that name and the judgment of charity that we're supposed to give to all of the members in good standing in the church that I find my heart set against, embittered toward, hostile toward. I might even be rightly described as hating them. What shall I do? Well, the answer isn't just to try harder to love them. We must be humiliated for our remaining sinfulness. But the answer is not in us. It's in Jesus. It's in actually knowing him. Lord, my knowledge of you is small. So small, perhaps, even in each one's case is different, but maybe the case is even my knowledge of you is so small that I don't even know that I know you. My dwelling in you, my abiding in you is so small that I'm not even sure, Lord, that I actually abide in you. Mm-hmm. We talk about it as a family. We hear about it as a church. There have been moments that my heart felt warm towards you. But now that I look at this test by which I may know that is supposed to encourage me and say, this is where that obedience came from. This is where that love came from. I'm not sure there is any obedience or any love. Help me. Give me to know Jesus. Or address Jesus directly. He's your God. He has a divine nature, not just a human nature. He can hear you. Give me to know you, Lord Jesus. Give me to abide in you, Lord Jesus. Give your life to actually be in me. Don't let my doctrine be accurate, but empty. Make my doctrine be good by giving me the reality that I know must be true about me and for me with you. And this is what Jesus was inviting them into in the night that he was betrayed in John 13 when he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so shall you love one another. By this the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now he comes by his Spirit carrying along the apostle who is writing this letter. And he says, not just by this the world will know that you are my disciples. By this you will know that you are my disciple. Because you love the brethren as I have loved you. As I have loved the brethren. And so this was commandment number one in the church. Even from the night he was betrayed. Even before he went to the cross and rose again from the dead. And started gathering the church in the 40 days. And inaugurated the age of the church, the day of Pentecost. That's why verse 7 says, I write you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. Jesus gave this commandment himself in the night that he was betrayed. The word which he heard from, which they have heard from the beginning. But then he says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you. You say, well, which is it? Doesn't verse 8 say it's not a new commandment? Then verse 8 says it is a new commandment. It's new because up until Christ came and died on the cross and gathered his church, the commandment to love one another as he has loved us, to lay our lives down for one another in practical ways as he laid down his life for us upon the cross, that was a new commandment at that time, but it has been from the beginning of the church. Now you know that that commandment is true in him. And verse 8 is saying it's also true, it's also fulfilled in everyone whom he actually saves. And by this he shows that darkness is on death row. Darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. There is the true light that is in Jesus, that is in glory, that is too bright, like Sophia was asking about. But there is also true light on earth. wherever there are those who are in Jesus and who have love from the brethren, love for the brethren that is from Jesus. And so the love of God finds its fulfillment, its goal, its end. As verse 5 says, the love of God is perfected in the one who keeps Jesus' word. You see, loving the brethren isn't just something that Jesus produces in us, something that Jesus commands us. And so he takes that commandment and he puts it in the category with all the other commandments so that we might treat the whole law of God, all of the commandments of Christ, as being of the same goodness from the same Christ who has kept it in our place and who produces that obedience in us as this commandment, to love one another as he has loved us. Do you see how the love of God must be fulfilled by obedience to his good commandments? This passage is asking us and pressing us. But if we don't obey his commandments, and especially if we don't obey this one, then how great is the darkness in us? There is not light in someone who has accurate theology about knowing Jesus and abiding in Jesus, but does not love the brother. Look at verse 11 and this triple use of the word darkness. Really is very sobering how this passage concludes. For the one who does not find in himself love of the brethren, does not find or finds in himself or herself hatred of a brother or a sister. Because of the triple use, he concludes the passage by saying, darkness, darkness, darkness. If you find this hatred in your heart, cry out to Jesus who is the light to save you. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Let him flatter himself that he keeps the Ten Commandments. He's a liar if he doesn't love his brother. Because obedience to the first great commandment and obedience to the second great commandment comes from the same place and the same life in the same way as obedience to the first and a half great commandment. This is, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He may have ever so many rules. He may even be right, accurate about many of them, maybe all of them, probably not. But still he himself is in darkness. And so may our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all, give us to know that fellowship that we have in him by producing his light in us, making us to walk in light, obeying all of his commandments, and especially this one that he gives as a particular test, that we would love our brothers and lay down our lives for them in practical ways, like he is going to go on to define in chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that you would help us now. For none of us are light as we ought to be, and we look to you and to your Spirit to increase our love for you and our love for our brother and our love for our neighbor, to apply the life of Christ to us, to grow us by the grace of Christ as we abide in him, to grow us by the knowledge of Christ as we know him. And so make us to grow by the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grant to us to see, albeit imperfect in this life, yet genuine, love for you that produces obedience to your commandments in us, since by this we know that we know you. We know that we know Christ. For we know the true love for you, true obedience to you, cannot come in any other way. And so grant to us, Lord, assurance of our faith in Jesus Christ and of our belonging to him and being in him by giving us to love you and to keep your commandments. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.